Rachel Frazen's trek to the upper Sum Valley in Nepal is a form of grieving. She doesn't hide that.
What was your daughter's name?
Danielle.
How old was she when she died?
She was a week from her 25th birthday, which I don't think was accidental. I mean, I think she looked at her life as many young people do when they're looking at the quarter century mark. And she felt as though she had failed.
That was in 2009. For the last 7 years, Frazen has been driven to live outside of herself to make the world a place where Danielle would have wanted to live. But she didn't know quite where to begin.
It was as though she had sent me in a raft with a sail, and I began tacking and occasionally running.
Frazen is a registered nurse. 2 years after her daughter's death, she spent 10 days with a Colorado-based NGO in a developed area of Nepal providing medical care. But she heard of other places farther off the beaten path where services were almost non-existent. One was the Sum Valley.
It is an intriguing place. It's been described as the Shangri-La of Nepal. Now, that may be a bit overstated and certainly not as true now, perhaps, as it was in 2008 when it was first opened up to the West.
Like the fabled Shangri-La of Lost Horizon, the Sum Valley is accessible only on foot. The upper part of the valley is a 7-day trek from Kathmandu. This sounds romantic, but it's not, especially through the eyes of a healthcare professional.
It would be analogous to living in Sitka and having a child who is burning up with fever, gasping for breath, and you have to walk these mountains for a week to get to a place where there's a physician and there's emergency care.
So Frazen decided to take healthcare to the Sum Valley by walking in with a team of doctors and other practitioners. The barriers with the Nepalese government were huge, but she finally obtained a medical permit. Her interactions with the NGOs working in the area were also mixed, but she won the support of the Empower Nepal Foundation in the U.S. and the cooperation of Canada's Compassion Health Center, which had built a monastery and clinic in the Sum following the disastrous earthquake in Nepal in 2015. In some ways, the easiest part of Frazen's job was rounding up people to go with her. She set up a website describing her plans, and providers responded from all over the world. She calls them a motley crew.
We had a Chinese medicine doctor from Australia who did acupuncture, and the people absolutely loved the acupuncture. Tibetan people really resonate with that and felt very much cared for.
Her team consisted of 17 medical professionals in all, each of whom contributed $500 to pay for supplies and local support. With interpreters and guides, the medical mission to the Sum Valley had 32 people in all, diagnosing and treating everything from arthritis to parasitic diseases to cataracts. More importantly, for Frazen, she wanted to create a more efficient model for healthcare delivery in remote areas by generating the first ever electronic medical records for the residents.
I am hoping to screen people the way that you might be screened here in the West, in America, when you go to visit your medical provider for a complete history and physical exam. I will have my translators do a review of systems while people are standing in line 200 deep to be seen.
And those records, Frazen hopes, will be available to the medical outposts that serve the Sum when Western providers are absent. Frazen is already planning another trip to the Sum next year, this time with fewer people, perhaps 12 rather than 17, and the Sum will remain her focus even though there are many similar valleys throughout the Himalayas.
If I were to think about all the need throughout the world, throughout Nepal, I wouldn't be able to budge. So I've decided to wrap my arms around this one place and devote myself to this place for the coming years, for as long as I can.
Although international medicine was always her goal, Frazen doesn't think she would have taken on a challenge this large if her daughter Danielle had lived. She feels compelled to go big.
A switch flipped for me when she died, and I really wanted to find a way to expand rather than contract into shame, which I think is a very understandable impulse when you lose a child.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.